From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. We start off tonight with a debate KERA is planning to host. Republican gubernatorial candidate Greg Abbott has accepted an invitation for a live statewide television debate at KERA studios. KERA and its media partners issued an invitation to Abbott and his Democratic opponent Wendy Davis shortly after the March primary. Abbott initially declined but accepted today after negotiations for a debate sponsored by WFAA-TV in Dallas broke down. KERA will make its hour-long Texas debate available to all radio and television stations across the state. It will also be simulcast in Spanish and streamed online. The panel of journalists posing questions will include representatives from KERA and its partners, the Dallas Morning News, KXAS-TV, and Telemundo. Abbott has agreed to debate at 8 p.m. on September 30th, the same date that was planned for the WFAA event. The Davis campaign says WFAA has asked for a meeting Tuesday to discuss developments and the campaign's plans to attend. A federal judge has thrown out new Texas abortion restrictions that would have banned the procedure at most clinics across the state. This afternoon, a U.S. district judge sided with abortion clinics that challenged part of the sweeping anti-abortion bill signed last year by Governor Rick Perry. The law would have required the clinics to meet hospital-level operating standards by September 1st. That would have left 7 places for women to get an abortion in Texas, down from 19. The state is expected to appeal. Nearly a quarter of Texas business owners are foreign-born. These entrepreneurs bring in billions, but getting here and staying here is a challenge. KERA's Lauren Silverman reports Texas entrepreneurs want more visas for high-skilled workers.
In the world of science, Michio Kaku is a rock star. The theoretical physicist and futurist says when it comes to technology, America has a secret weapon. It's a visa called the H-1B.
Without the H-1B, the scientific establishment of this country would collapse. Forget about Google. Forget about Silicon Valley. There would be no Silicon Valley without the H-1B.
So what are H-1Bs? They're visas for highly skilled foreign-born workers. They come with a long list of restrictions, and they're hard to get. Companies looking for these employees snatch the visas up fast. In October, it took less than a week for U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services to hit next year's cap of 65,000.
It's a talent war, and I know it's a talent war in California. But it's a talent war here as well.
Shams Juma is CEO of a Dallas startup called Quantify. It's an online marketplace that connects entrepreneurs with experts to help them build their businesses.
You know, it's very difficult for us to find good talent and in-house.
Juma recently shared his struggle with a group of startup enthusiasts at an event put on by community group Launch DFW and Forward.us. That second organization has been called the Zuckerberg Pack for its Facebook founder, Mark Zuckerberg. Not everyone searching for an H-1B wants to work for Google or Facebook. Adrian Avendano wants to work at his own company, but it's not that easy.
Even immigration lawyers, I went and talked to one from the university, and I was like, what can I do? I want to start my own startup. And he was like, well, are you single? Yes. Well, get married.
I'm like, getting married to stay in the country wasn't Avendano's idea when he moved here from Mexico. He came 6 years ago to finish his PhD. And while at the University of Texas at Dallas, he founded Ares Materials, an electronic fabrication company. But Avendano's on a student visa, so he's not allowed to work.
I think it's kind of backwards because, I mean, there's people that come here for 6 years, 7 years, 10 years to pursue their grad school. So they're prepared people that U.S. and taxpayer dollars funded. And then when they're done, the government or the immigration laws send them back home instead of keeping these really smart people that can really, really contribute to the future of U.S.
Yes, of course, the dream of many foreign students that come in are educated in U.S. universities, want to stay. And so they do seek positions with firms that sponsor them. But private sector runs out of H-1B so quickly every year. These are very hard visas to get.
Pia Arrhenius is senior economist and vice president at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. She's also a fellow in the Tower Center at SMU. She says North Texas is in serious need of more H-1B visa workers.
We're growing at a blistering pace, and we are a poster child for an economy with labor shortages. And so we are bringing in lots of migrants, not only from other states, but also from out of the country.
Opposition to H-1B visas generally comes from workers in the U.S. who say the visas allow companies to import cheaper, younger competition. And there's another common complaint about H-1Bs in the tech community. They don't allow entrepreneurs to work for themselves. They have to work for someone else. That's why some are pushing for a different way to work in the country, something called the startup visa.
In principle, you know, the idea is probably a good one. I mean, we want to encourage innovation and startups and so on. I think the devil's in the details.
Ron Hira is author of Outsourcing America and associate professor at Howard University. He says a visa for foreigners who've raised funds from American investors is worth considering. The thing is, he's worried foreigners could be exploited by venture capitalists who hold the key to them staying in the country.
And I don't think things have been really vetted very well in the public discussion. There really haven't been careful analyses of what the impacts of the startup visa would be, either by think tanks or through congressional hearings.
Entrepreneurs in Dallas say community conversations are a good start, even if they're frustrating. Immigration reform is slow, and these entrepreneurs are eager to start working in the North Texas tech community. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
50 years ago this month, Texan Roy Orbison recorded a song that made him a rock and roll legend. KUT's David Brown looks back on half a century of Pretty Woman.
As the Beatles were riding the top of the music charts, along came a Texan who knocked the Fab Four right out of the top spot. Years later, Roy Kelton Orbison remembered growing up in West Texas, getting in his car for shelter and taking out his 12-string to write what was, for him, just an ordinary song about girls.
Yes, it was written very quickly. In about 30 minutes, the song was finished. As it happened, it was just another form of girl watching, you know, standing on the corner watching a pretty girl.
Pretty woman walking down the street, pretty woman, the kind I like to meet, pretty woman.
In the years since the summer of 64, Oh Pretty Woman has become a rock and roll standard covered by countless artists. Pretty Woman was just one of nine Orbison singles that would crack the top 10 in the 60s and give the British invaders a run for their money. Indeed, Ringo Starr confessed that Orbison was the only artist the Beatles were afraid to have as an opening act. It wasn't because of his looks. Orbison couldn't be mistaken for a typical teenage idol. He was ridiculously low-key, a little overweight, always hiding his eyes behind thick, dark glasses and a shock of black hair, a bit too shy for his own good, perhaps. Yet, as a musician, he was so formidable that even today he's considered a rock star's rock star. Just ask Bruce Springsteen, who inducted Orbison into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It was like a spirit sound, you know, it was disembodied. And it went well with his presentation, which was just to be there, you know, almost not there. He was a guy that got more intense by simply standing still. I had to jump all around, you know, and work really hard. He was able to do all of that by standing in one place.
Roy Orbison died on December 6th, 1988. He was only 52 years old. And although history's been kind to the pioneers of rock and roll, an overview of Orbison's career suggests this remarkable Texas singer really hasn't received his due. But it's impossible to overlook the legacy of Roy Orbison, or that voice, nearly four octaves broad and as big as his native Texas.
You can like KERA on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.